Word of God. John chapter 9, verse 1. A lengthy reading this morning, but I'll try and get through this quickly. John chapter 9, verse 1 is the story of a blind man. Hallelujah. Still hear a few pages turning. Praise God. John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Everybody say from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay and said unto him, Go wash the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. He knew what God did. Therefore said they unto him, How are thine eyes open? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that afore was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees, who also asked him how he had received sight, he said unto them, He put clay on mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he that hath opened thine eyes? He said, He's a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents, because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, He is of age, ask him. I say, ask him. Ask the one that Jesus did the miraculous through. Ask the one that the miracle got performed about. Ask him who Jesus is. He'll tell you. He'll tell you about the experience he had. Then again, they called the man that was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. And I love his response. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I do know. I used to be blind, but now I see. I used to have a problem, but Jesus showed up, and I don't have the problem anymore. Woo! Oh, I used to be a sinner, but now I'm a saint. Hallelujah. Come on, give God glory right now. There's a testimony in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo. Praise God. Praise God. Anybody ever had the Lord do something for you? Anybody ever had the Lord demonstrate in your life? Why don't you just give him a shout right now? Hallelujah. Whoo, I could stay there all day. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning. Thank you for your patience and standing. And I want to talk to you this morning about vessels of glory. Vessels of glory. You may be seated. Vessels of glory. Now, I know that some may be asking, wait a minute, I thought that God didn't share his glory with another. But there's a big difference in sharing or stealing God's glory and simply transporting it to a different place. I'm not here to steal his glory today. I don't do the things I do to steal his glory. I do the things I do to transport his glory, to send his glory to a place of need. And that's what the church is called to do. We're called to be a vessel of glory. What would you do if you knew God would back you up? I'll wait. Who would you lay hands on if you knew the Holy Ghost would move? Who would you pray for in the Walmart aisle if you knew there would be a demonstration? What would you do in your life if fear was not a factor? If there was no fear, if there was no doubt, when I do this, I know the Lord is going to show up. Who would you lay hands on? Who would you preach to? Who would you talk to about Jesus Christ? Who would you channel the glory of God to? I'm preaching to myself this morning. Praise God. The Lord asked me a question that I was to deliver to myself first and then to all of us today. The Lord asked me this in prayer yesterday. I was wrestling with him. You can ask my wife. I was desperate for a word. And God spoke and he said, if I demonstrate, will you and the people you're preaching to be willing to be a vessel for my glory? If I demonstrate in your life whatever the need is, will the people that I demonstrate through also be willing in turn to be a vessel for my glory? If I perform the miraculous today, will you be willing to take that miraculous to somebody else? Would you be willing to go in Walmart and pour out the glory of God? Would you be willing, students, to go into your schools and pour out the glory of God? God's demonstration is not purposeless. God's outpouring is not purposeless. God manifesting his power, healing the sick, opening blinded eyes, filling people with the baptism of the Spirit, lifting the oppressed, delivering from addictions, freeing captives, all of that is not purposeless. It isn't supposed to end there. Demonstration, outpouring, needs being granted is always an effort from God to help someone else experience his glory. The miraculous in your life is twofold. It's for you and for who God called you to share it with. Exodus 14 and 1 said this about Pharaoh and Moses. I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Watch this. that he shall follow after them. But why is he following? Semicolon. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh. This is God talking. And upon all his hosts. Why? That the Egyptians, not the Israelites, not the saved ones, not the church folks, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. I'll put you through all of these things, and I'll let them see the glory of God miraculously part the sea, do the miracle, perform the miraculous. Why? That the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Even in sin, and even in bondage, and even in captivity, it was the Lord's will for the Egyptians to know that he was God. Can I tell you that there is miraculous being poured out or withheld because God can see into the future and see his glory being poured out and manifested and delivered, and a willing vessel going here and a willing vessel going there. If you are willing to do that, God will part the Red Sea. God will do anything in your life. This is also why in the book of Acts there's a clear pattern. The power of God is demonstrated. Preaching of the word goes forward. Souls, people are added to the church. The miraculous is performed. Faith is lifted. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. They preach the word. And then the Bible says souls were added. People received the Holy Ghost. There was the laying on of hands. There was baptisms. Acts chapter 2. Holy Ghost was poured out. Word of God was ministered. People added to the church. Acts chapter 4, the lame man being healed. The word of God was spoken. Prayer was done. People were added to the church. Acts chapter 16, when the damsel was cast out, they prayed. The soothsayers came. They were upset. They prayed. The word of God was the power of God was demonstrated. People were added to the church. Acts chapter 6, Stephen performed his ministry, waiting tables. The word of God was multiplied. People were added to the church. And the Bible says power and miracles of God were poured out in his ministry. It's a pattern of those that are willing to be a vessel of his glory. When our efforts do not achieve or move towards a purpose or have some sort of direction or intent, the Bible calls that vanity. The Bible defines that as transitory, unsatisfactory, empty. Vanity of vanities, the preacher said. All is vanity. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 2. What profit hath a man of his labor which shall take under the sun? One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. The sun also ariseth, and the sun goeth down, and it hasteneth to his place where he arose. The wind goeth toward the south, and returneth about unto the north, and it whirleth about continually. Everybody say a cycle. And the wind returneth again according to its circuits. And so the death trap of the enemy, when we get caught up in this circle of just coming and receiving and going back out and coming and receiving and going back out without further purpose and without further meaning, without further intentions, the Bible calls that vanity. It's unsatisfactory. That's why you feel empty sometimes. You can be, it's amazing, you can be poured into and still feel empty. You know why? Because God's waiting for you to pour out. And when you pour out what God is pouring in, vanity, purposelessness, meaningless goes away. And you find, oh, Jesus, you're using me as a vessel. You're using me as a channel, as a conduit for your glory. God brought about the church for a purpose. The church has always had intention of people being saved. God hasn't done all of the things in my life and in your life that he's done for me to sit on a pew. God hasn't performed the miraculous for you and for me to not do or not pour or not go or not. I got to give him glory. I've got to give him praise for all of the things he's done for me. I don't have a choice. I don't have to prod myself when I come in. I've got to lift my hands. I've got to give him glory for filling me with his spirit. I've got to give him a dance of praise. Oh, when the music's going, I've got to dance for him. I've got to praise him with my breath. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. I got to give him glory. I got to give him glory. He brought me out. He brought me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock to stay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got a testimony. I've got some things God's done for me, some things I couldn't get myself out of. And the hand of God said, oh, no, you're coming out, buddy. You're not living there, buddy. You're not living in that sin. You're not. I've got a place for you to preach to. I've got a ministry to call you to. I've got people that you've got to pour out my glory to. Woo. Some of us, I'm praying, will commit to God today. I'll be a vessel. That may be the holdup for your miracle. So I ask it again. If I demonstrate, will you be willing to be a vessel for my glory? This brings us to the story in John. It's interesting. The Bible says that as Jesus passed by, he saw. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. Now, naturally, Jesus and the disciples probably saw him with the natural eye. But the Bible only records that Jesus saw him. I know they both saw him naturally because Jesus wasn't the first one that spoke up. The disciples said, who sinned? Well, there's a lot I could say about assuming the best about our brothers and sisters right there. Jesus hadn't said a word. The disciples walked by, took one look at the outward appearance and said, oh, there's got to be sin there. I'm going to leave that for Pastor to straighten out. Praise God. But Jesus can look at the same subject and see a totally different picture. Jesus, Sister Sonia, Jesus wasn't looking at what was sitting there. Jesus looked at that man and saw him walking into the temple saying, there was a man and I was blind, but now I see. Jesus looked at the same person that his ministry team looked at and said, I don't see what you see. I see potential. I see power. I see the Pharisees, the smartest, most together people in the world, hearing the gospel because I did the miraculous. In your life. I don't think Jesus sees the harvest field the same way that we see it sometimes. I'm telling you, there's somebody that could have walked in the back of this church today, and God's got a calling on him. And they come up to this front. Don't ever judge. Don't ever cast judgment on these people that come up to the front and they have a weird dance, or they don't do everything exactly like we do it, or they don't say everything exactly like we say it. I'm telling you that Jesus looks at them and says, oh, there's a worshiper. Oh, there's somebody I can pour out my glory in right there. He don't have anything to lose. He doesn't have a reputation to keep. He doesn't have dignity to preserve. He doesn't have a suit and tie that he's worried about getting dirty. I can just pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. Woo! In fact, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9 says this, and he said unto me, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in the things that others look at you for and mock you for and scold you for and put their worldly expectations around. Those things, that's where my strength comes for. Those are the channels, the vessels of my glory. Can I tell somebody today that the only prerequisite for your miracle is Jesus being able to look down the timeline of your life and seeing you willing to give him glory? The only prerequisite for what you've come to the house of God for is Jesus being able to look down into the timeline of your life and seeing you go and pour out his glory to somebody else, pour out his praises, pour out the name of Jesus into this lost world, pour out the testimony of what he's done. If you're willing to do that, Jesus said, the miracle's no problem. There you go. If you'll give him glory, the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If you'll give him glory, if you'll put Jesus in the place of visibility for all the world to see, not you, not me, if you'll lift the name of Jesus Christ, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, there is endless possibility. You hear what I'm saying? I've seen him do it. These eyes have seen Jesus perform the miraculous. If you're willing to lift him up, the possibilities are endless for what God can do in just the next few minutes. Praise God. Jesus. Jesus is looking at their life. And he sees those that he pours out into. He sees them performing and being a vessel for the will of God. How do I know this is the case? His disciples in verse 2 say, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Watch this. Jesus answered, neither has the man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be manifest in him. You ready? Not you, preacher. That the works of God should be manifest in him. The disciples, through their worldly analysis, their analytical summary of what Jesus would do in the miraculous, asked the question, what sin did he commit? What did he do to deserve to be blind? What was in this man's life that he sits here, dirty, nasty, blind? stricken. What did his mom or dad do? Maybe he didn't do anything. Let's go check out his family. Was his mom or dad Pentecostal? No? Oh, write him off. What did his mom and dad, you ready for this? Watch what Jesus said. He said nothing. He didn't do anything. In fact, you ready for this? I put the blindness there. It was from his birth. Some of you are struggling with some things, and there's freedom in that statement right there. You've been struggling with some things that Jesus put there. And the intent is not to hurt you. The intent is not to derail you. The intent is not to scorn you. The intent is for you to be a vessel of his glory. Somebody needs to speak to that devil in your life right now that's saying you'll always be sick. You'll always be down. You'll always be what you always used to be. And say, you know what? That's all right if I am, because I know Jesus is about to use it for my glory. He put it there, and I'll let it stay there as long as Jesus will pour out his glory in me, as long as Jesus will lift me up, as long as Jesus can do his work through me, I'll be a vessel of glory. Watch this. Music. When he poured out the miracle on the person with the disease that he put there, Jesus put it there. The Pharisees even said, we've never seen anybody who's had blindness from birth be healed by any man. They said that. We've never seen this, so he's got to be, in some form or fashion, this man that's laid hands on him has to be from God. Because if it was there from birth, nobody can do that but Jesus. Now, in the perfect opportunity, when this man is brought and analyzed before the high powers of government, the people with all the stuff together, and they're questioning him, they're scorning him, where's your family, were they in this, did they know he was blind, he's lying, are you sure he was blind from his start, how did this happen, this can't be the glory of Jesus. It was their worst nightmare for it to be Jesus, because they spent their days and nights and their mornings and evenings contemplating how they could crucify him. For the glory to be wrought in somebody that had been in contact with Jesus. Oh, we better figure this out. Whew. The funny part is, at the perfect opportunity for Jesus to show up and straighten everything out, they're asking him the questions. They're bringing the family in. Jesus says, you tell them. Jesus is nowhere on the scene when the man is in the temple. I did this in your life. You go tell him. Tell him what God did. Tell him how the miracles were wrought in your life. Tell him how he brought you out. Tell him how you were lost and then you were found. Tell him how you were blind and then you see. Tell him how I did these things in your life. Wasn't until afterwards. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God is wanting to use somebody. Wasn't until afterwards that Jesus comes back around. And he grabs the guy by the shoulder and says, hey, man. They throw him out of the temple. He's a sinner. And Jesus picks him up. Hey, hey, hey. You all right? Yeah, I'm good. Hey, let me ask you one question. Forget all those guys. Do you believe I'm the Son of God? Oh, yeah. You believe? Good. Worship me. Forget all those that are going to analyze it. Forget all those that are going to put their mouth on the miracle. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? Is my testimony enough to get you off your feet and to lift your hands and to get you praising me? I don't care what all the analysts think. I don't care what those people that aren't hungry are going to think. I want to know, will you be a vessel for my glory? If you'll be a vessel, I'll pour out the miraculous. If you'll be a vessel, I'll heal your body. If you'll pour out my glory, I'll heal your mind. If you'll be used of me, I'll put contentment in your heart. I'll put peace back in your marriage. I'll put soundness back in your mind. I'll end with a story. Was at an apostolic conference recently. Brother Shatwell said, it was a lady who walked into the tabernacle. Red hair, cut, pants, shoes. May have been homeless, I don't know. And she walked up to Brother Shatwell and she said, the Lord told me that you have a word for me. Brother Shatwell said, well, okay. And I may get parts of this wrong, but it's on the web. You can find it. Brother Shatwell preached the gospel to her. And that lady that walked in not knowing anything about God received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was baptized in Jesus' name. Wait for it. Ready? Watch this. When Brother Shatwell asked her, how'd you find me? She said, somebody doesn't know anything about God. I went on 2 40-day fasts. I fasted twice. 40 days because I was so desperate for God to give me somebody that would give me a word. And God said, go to Brother Shatwell. Can I tell you, she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when they brought her up, she brought five members of her family that had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and been baptized. Don't tell me God's not ready to use people. Don't tell me that he's not ready to pour out into people, because there was a lady that didn't know anything about God and she was so desperate to be used that God poured out miracles in her. And she said, you know what? Hey, Mom, Dad, you got to meet this Jesus. I can't explain it. I don't know how to describe to you how to speak in tongues. I don't know, but you got to meet this Jesus, because God gave me a word, and now I'm taking that word and I'm giving it to you. Vessels of his glory. I'm going to open these altars right now. As you come, I want to ask you a question. As you come and lift your hands, are you willing to be a vessel for the glory of God? If you'll come up to this altar today and tell God, I'll be a vessel. I'll be a conduit for your spirit. There's nothing in these altars right now that the Holy Ghost won't do. There's nothing in these altars right now that the Holy Ghost won't take care of. Come on up, lift your hands in this place. Let the Holy Ghost begin to talk to somebody right now. Jesus, whatever you want me to do, God, whatever you want me to say, however you want to use me, God, I'm here to be a vessel for your glory. I want to carry it everywhere I go. Every person I meet, I want to pour out the glory of God to. I want to pour out the miraculous works of your Spirit. Come on, lift your hands right now. Let's talk to the Lord right now. It's time for the Lord to do a work right now. Let's talk to him. He allocated.